My First Trip to Canada, A Diary by Manuel Ramirez Arvizu, Mexico City, 2004. Prologue. Mexico City, 2004. Hi, how are you doing? I would like to share with you some anecdotes on my first trip to Canada. I will also explain what made that trip possible and describe the experience I acquired out of those incredible moments. The purpose of this book is to describe the situations I went through during my first trip to Canada, including all the extraordinary circumstances connected with it. First of all, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Manuel Ramirez Arvizu, and I am a high school teacher of English at the Colegio de Ciencias y Humanidades of the Universidad Nacional Autónoma de Mexico. I have worked there for 7 years. This book is a tribute to my Canadian friends who encouraged me to visit them without knowing if this was possible given my tight financial situation back in 1988. I would like to begin this diary by introducing my friends Alan, pronounced like Alan, his wife Frances, and Lydia, Alan's mother. I met them in the Museo Nacional de Antropología, the National Museum of Anthropology in Mexico City in 1984. At that time, I was studying English at the English World Institute. I had a scholarship that granted a coverage of 50% by CREA. Bureau of Programs for the Youth, an organization committed to provide financial support to low-income students with scholarships to pursue studies in technical assistant, secretary assistant, and foreign languages. This was the only way for me to study English. The tuition in small English institutes could reach up to 8,000 pesos per month, which was difficult for me to pay at that time. But things were different with the scholarship since I only had to pay $1,750. Thanks to that, I could study English as a foreign language thoroughly, and at the same time, I had the opportunity to familiarize myself with the thinking and living of many native speakers. I met my Canadian friends in 1984. In this section, I would like to describe the way I met my friends and how difficult it was for me to try to speak in English when I had only studied as far as the low intermediate level. What put me face to face with this language was an unexpected incident. National Museum of Anthropology and History. I started taking English courses in 1983. By the time I met my friends, I was in a low intermediate level. I did not speak English that fluently, and I needed to learn more vocabulary. I believe that my chances of listening to people speaking English or talking with foreigners were high if I visited places such as the National Museum of Anthropology, the Pyramids of Teotihuacan, or went for a walk to Zona Rosa or downtown in Mexico City, places where you can always meet some tourists. So I decided to go to the National Museum of Anthropology on October 31st, 1984, in the morning. I was convinced that a guided tour in English could help me improve my listening comprehension. When I went into the museum, I bought a ticket for a one-hour guided tour in English. People started gathering, most of them foreigners. All of a sudden, a woman came close to me and asked what my name was and if we were at the starting point of the tour. Right after that, her son and daughter-in-law arrived. We said hello to each other and waited for the tour to begin. As soon as the group was complete, with 15 persons, the tour started. We went through several rooms. At the beginning, it was very difficult for me to understand not only the tourist guide, but also the questions posed by tourists. But slowly, I could make up some general ideas based on some words I could understand here and there. I thought that if I could not confront English in that moment, then there was no point in studying a foreign language. The guided tour ended an hour later. My new friends invited me to go for a coffee. I accepted for obvious reasons. It was a one-time opportunity for me to speak in English a little bit longer. It was difficult for me to find the right words to express what I wanted to say. However, they were always eager to help since they knew some words in Spanish. I think they had been studying arts in San Miguel de Allende, Guanajuato. During the conversation in the restaurant of the museum, my friend suggested that I should order a salad or a snack. I just had some coffee. I did not want to cause any financial problem. On the other hand, I was thinking of going back home, which was 20 minutes away from the museum. I had a Halloween party that night. However, after a while, they invited me to go to their hotel because they wanted to give me a calendar they brought from Canada. I accepted the invitation and we left the museum. We walked toward the bus stop across from the museum. As soon as we arrived, a man told my friends in English that the bus to the Zocalo was coming soon. My friends did not pay much attention to his comment. Shortly after that, we got on the bus. In a matter of two stops from the Museum of Anthropology to Chapultepec, my new friends were mugged. I heard Frances shouting they had taken her camera. By then, the bus had stopped and several persons were rushing off the bus. Alan was after one of them, but he came back soon. Everyone was gone. Suddenly, I heard Frances shouting again. This time, one of Lydia's legs was bleeding. A crowd began to gather around us. My friends and I were screaming in desperation because we did not know what to do. People were shaken by our reaction. Police stopped the traffic right away. Lydia was taken to the nearest hospital and Frances accompanied her. We stayed there because police wanted to know what had happened. An officer got on the bus to inspect it and found Frances' camera wrapped in a very dirty plastic bag. They gave it to Alan and asked him to identify some man who had been caught in a nearby parking lot. Police allowed the traffic to flow again. I had never been in a situation like that. I can only see people running, volunteering to interpret if necessary, and police officers coming from everywhere. At the beginning, Alan accepted the help offered by some people who spoke English. But later he told the officers that I was with them and that he preferred me to interpret for him. I wonder what kind of interpretation I did when I was just a student of that language and a good knowledge of vocabulary was required. I can only recall that I did not use many words, although I tried to put into practice all I had learned in my classes. Perhaps I did not do an excellent job, but it was good enough for the communication to take place. Frances came back to let Alan know that his mother was okay. The doctor said that Lydia was wounded with a knife. The thieves must have thought she had money in her pocket, but they never thought that the driver was going to pull out so quickly. Also, he added the wound was just superficial. We saw the police taking the thieves into the police car. Then a young man, Luis, came close to us. He asked if he could stay with us. He had identified the thieves, and when he tried to leave the place, someone threatened him with a gun for having informed the police about his accomplices. At that time, I was not sure whether or not I could trust strangers. So I told Alan about it, and he said there was no problem. Later, Alan, Frances, and I picked up Lydia, who was in one of the doctor's offices of the Instituto Mexicano de Seguro Social. She was feeling better and thanked me for staying with them. She wrote down her address in Vancouver for me. I gave them my address too. Then Alan called the Canadian Embassy in Mexico, but he never got any answer, only their voicemail. When we went downstairs, the thieves were waiting for their destiny in a police car. A police officer asked my friends if they wanted to launch a lawsuit against those individuals. They answered affirmatively, and the officer walked to his car, talked to another officer, and came back a few minutes later. My friends would have to go to Ministerio Público for 3 days so they could be protected in case some of the accomplices of the crime would intimidate them. My friends were going to leave for San Miguel de Allende the next day. Alan told the officer to do the appropriate proceedings. It was sad to see that the safety and security program did not operate the way people expected. What can victims of robbery do then? A taxi drove us straight to the hotel. We were 5 passengers, Alan, Francis, Lydia, Luis, and I. It was 6 o'clock by the time we arrived, so I did not have enough time to go home before the Halloween party. My friends encouraged me to order a sandwich, and later on they gave me a calendar with beautiful pictures of Canada. As soon as we finished eating, I said goodbye to them. They paid for Luis's taxi, which took him home, and also mine, which took me to Eugenia subway station, where I was going to meet my sister. Once there, I told her what had happened. She said that it was much better to go home instead of the Halloween party. Many years later. Perhaps you may wonder why it took me so long to write this story. Well, the reason is that now I would like to share all those beautiful memories I have of my first trip to Canada. Besides, I found the notes I made during that trip, so I decided that it was time to share this experience. Perhaps this book may fall into the hands of people like you, my kindly reader, whom I may never have the pleasure to meet. To all of you, I want to say that I never thought of writing a book like this one, since I am not a writer. However, this was the only way to share with you all those unforgettable moments I had with very nice people. These lines show my perception of the Canadian way of life and my feelings for it. I hope you will enjoy it.